Well, good morning. Following a disastrous attempt at being Joshua, I'll introduce myself. As Andy said, my name's Matt Scotney. I am a member at Slough Baptist Church, and I'm also one of the Sunday Club leaders. And today, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at Joshua chapter 4 and trying to explore it in a little bit more detail. So, maybe one of the first things that strike you is a little bit of deja vu. Perhaps you've heard something similar before. The parting of a river, the parting of the sea. Well, of course, if we go back a little earlier, in Exodus chapter 13, we see Moses crossing the Red Sea. Now, this is probably the more famous splitting of a sea. There's feature films, there's cartoons, there's all sorts of things. And this is probably the one that you've heard about. Moses leads his people out of Israel. They're currently slaves in Egypt, and the Pharaoh will not let them go. There are 10 plagues which hit the Egyptian people. And finally, Pharaoh says, go, and Moses leads his people from Egypt. But eventually, Pharaoh changes his mind. And what we have is a situation where Moses is there in front of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are behind. The Egyptians are coming to get them back again. And God says to Moses, hold up your staff, and the Red Sea is parted. So in this particular story, we see a very, very similar thing, except it's no longer Moses, it's Joshua. The mantle has moved on, and it's no longer running away, it's no longer fleeing from Egypt, it's running into, or it's entering into the promised land. And when I was looking at this, a couple of things struck me as being very, very interesting. Firstly, it's absolutely as amazing as Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. God demonstrates his power by drying up the River Jordan. Not a small stream, but a massive river in the height of flood season. And secondly, in the middle of the crossing, God commands Joshua to collect 12 stones. Now, we're not talking about little stones like this. We're talking about massive, great rocks, or more than probably massive great rocks. And we could get 12 of them collected, one for each of the tribes of Israel. Can you imagine it? You're there, you're crossing the River Jordan, you're walking through a riverbed with water, and you have to go back and pick up a stone. Reach down, pick it up. Is the water going to come in? Is it going to crash back on me? So we're going to explore that in a little bit more detail. But before we do, I'd like you to consider something. What connects the following? It's a bit difficult with just one item. If you can't quite see it, there's one on the screen. A pencil. My second item is a bookmark. Can anybody figure out what connects those two items? Joshua. A book, very good, but no, not quite a book. Okay, we'll try something else then. How about this one? This is a photograph of my beloved wife on her wedding, or on our wedding day, not her wedding day. It's not going well today, is it? Any ideas? Okay, we'll carry on. My calendar. Sadly, it is on a phone. I was going to bring the proper calendar, but I don't use that. I use my phone. Four items. What connects them? Any ideas? Go for it. Sorry? Paper. Oh, paper's good. What do you think? I did. I heard it. I've ignored it. What about this one, then? A knot in a handkerchief. Go for it. Sorry? Date, it could be dates, very, very, very close. Esther. They're used to remember things. Very, very good. Unsurprisingly on Remembrance Day. If we carry on, we have the poppy. Again, it helps us to remember things. We have the stones in that Joshua put into a pile. And finally, we have the cross of Jesus. So all of these things help us to remember. They're ways in which we remember things. But what do they help us to remember? Well, let's look into this in a little bit more detail. For those people who are at the front, can see there's stuff written on the bookmark and on the pencil. This is a little bit of a family tradition. Whenever we go anywhere, the boys, when we were younger, Catherine and myself decided that we wanted to buy something to remind them of the visit. We didn't want anything particularly expensive. We didn't want anything difficult to find. So we chose Isaac would be collecting bookmarks, and Joseph, we thought, could collect pencils. And everywhere we go, the boys will be on the lookout for bookmarks and pencils. So they help the boys remember the visits that we've been, the places that we've entertained. And I'm sure you guys have very, very similar things. It might be that you collect perhaps rubbers. It might be that you collect pencil tops, so the little things that sit on the top of the pencils. It might be a postcard. It could be all sorts of different things that you collect when you visit places. The photo of Catherine on our wedding day. Well, this photograph sits on my chest of drawers at home. It's there. When I get out of bed, I can see it. When I get dressed in the morning, I can see it. When I walk into our bedroom, I can see it. Most of the time, I probably don't even look at it. But it reminds me of our wedding day. And actually, most importantly, it reminds me of why I asked Catherine to marry me, especially on those days where we are not very, very good friends. It reminds me to say sorry. And then consider the knot. Let's go back here. The knot and the calendar. These things, as somebody said, they remind us of dates. They remind us of what we're going to do this weekend. It reminds us of a special date in the diary. It reminds us of something we must not forget. And likewise, the poppy, as we've just said, it reminds us of those people who died fighting for our freedom. So what about the pile of stones? Well, we heard in the drama how Joshua put them into a big pile. He built a monument. If you go in and read the Bible passage, Joshua builds a monument to God, a way of reminding people. And then finally, the cross. Well, the cross reminds me of God's grace. The cross reminds me of the fact that Jesus died for all the bad things that I've done or will do. And the fact the cross is empty, it also reminds me that Jesus has conquered death and is Lord of all. But that's perhaps not the question we need to be looking at. We don't need to be looking at the things that help us to remember, the bookmarks, the calendars, the poppy. Perhaps the question we should be asking is, why do we remember? Well, if we come back to the pencil and the bookmark, and or whatever it is that you collect, they're there to help us look back on the adventures that we've had. For Isaac and Joseph, it's the places they've explored. It's the things they've been to. It's the fun that they've had. And hopefully, when they're a bit older, they'll be able to look back and go, we had some really, really good fun in those places. As a family, we did lots and lots of different adventures. And the things that you guys collect that help you remember all the fun that you've had, again, you can look back on them. The photos, the calendar, the knots in the hanky. These perhaps can be really positive things. So it could be a fantastic holiday and you remember the view via a photograph. It could be, like myself, a photograph. It could be every week or every month there's a reminder, or every year a reminder in the calendar about a special day. And if you look on the news sheet, we've got all of those special days, all of those special birthdays, anniversaries coming up. It helps us as a congregation to remember to celebrate with our friends, to remember to celebrate with our family, to remember to celebrate the good stuff. But actually, the photographs, the calendar, and the knots in a hanky can also help us to remember things that we do not want to forget. Loved ones who are no longer with us. Special dates where things didn't quite work as we wanted to. It helps us then to remember to help other people as well. As we remember those people who've lost loved ones, we can remember with them, we can feel their pain and we can share with them. And of course, the poppy. Well, the poppy reminds us about those people who have fallen, those people who have died. But it does more than just that. I don't know about you guys, but I have two boys who are mad on Star Wars. Star Wars is glamorous. You fly around in X-Wing fighters. You fight Darth Vader. You kill stormtroopers. You kill the bad guys. You've got lightsabers, but it's all about death. The poppy reminds us that war is not glamorous. No matter what Hollywood says, war is not glamorous in any way, shape, or form. And we must not forget all the friends, all the relatives, all the innocent people who died. And we have the slogan that goes with Remembrance Day. We will never forget. But what about this pile of stones? Joshua builds this massive pile of stones. Why? Well, if you read the Bible passage, Joshua builds it to remind the people that it was God who brought them into the promised land. It wasn't the people. It had nothing to do with the people. The people could not separate the River Jordan. It was God who did it. It was God who allowed them to enter the promised land. So Joshua built the pile of stones for the people. But perhaps more than that, Joshua built the pile of stones to remind him who he was. In verse 14, it says, "That day the Lord made Joshua a great leader in the eyes of all of the Israelites. And for the rest of his life, they revered him as much as they had revered Moses." Moses was a magnificent leader, and Joshua takes the same status. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if somebody tells me I'm really good at something, I can get a little big-headed about it. I can forget that I've had to learn all sorts of things. I can forget that actually it's not about me in any way, shape, or form. And personally, I look at Joshua and I think maybe that pile of stones helps to remember Joshua, where his strength comes from. If we look at some of the history around Joshua, if we look at Exodus 17, this is probably where we're introduced to Joshua. And Joshua is fighting for God's people. He's leading God's people against the Amalekites. Moses, who's the leader of the people at the time, is looking on from a hilltop. And he has the staff of God. And every time Moses holds the staff up, Joshua is able to win against the Amalek people. But as Joshua's arms get tired, so his hands drop, and Joshua gets beaten back, he starts to lose. When God is being praised, Joshua is winning. When Moses' arms are dropping and God is perhaps not there, Joshua starts to drop back. So in the end of the story, there's Moses sitting down with two people holding up his arms, and Joshua goes on to win a great victory. But at the end of the story, Moses makes sure Joshua knows what happened. Joshua knew how he beat the Amalek people. Joshua is reminded that it's not him who is great, but it is in fact God who alone has made him great. And that's all very well, but why is it relevant to us? Why is it relevant to me standing here? Why is it relevant to you guys? Well, for me, I think we need to remember where our help comes from, where everything we have comes from. It doesn't matter whether we've got a lot. It doesn't matter whether we've got a little bit. It doesn't matter whether we're hugely talented and can do all sorts of things like paint and sing music and play. We had the young people playing earlier, a fantastic band. It doesn't matter whether we're able to play football, whether we're great tennis players, whether we're brilliant at reading or writing, whether we're even brilliant at reading scripts, unlike myself. What we do need to remember is where the talents come from, and we need to use them for God's glory. While I was preparing this, there were two verses that sprang to mind. They came via various different routes. One of them was Micah 6, verse 8, and it says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good and what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The thing that struck me about this one is that we're called to walk humbly with God, to realise that it's not about our strength. We don't do things in our strength. I do not stand here talking to you about God's word in my strength. It's in God's strength. And if we're we need to walk humbly before God. The pillar of stones reminded Joshua to walk humbly before his God. And the second verse is Philippians 1:6. And it says, "I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." God was working in Joshua's life from the very start. It was God who made Joshua a great leader. God is working in your lives, whether you know it or not. God is working and will do amazing things with your life if we're willing to let him. So as we finish today, as we finish the talk, I want you to remember not only the people who have fallen, I want you also to remember the example that Joshua set. We need to remember that it's God who created the world and has a plan for each and every one of us, if we're willing to follow God. But, and this is the big but, and this doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for a day or whether you've been a Christian all of your life. The critical thing is that we do this every single day of the week. It's not about remembering God once a year, perhaps like we remember the fallen. It's about remembering God is with us, and God is our strength and our saviour every single day. Good day or bad day. Happy day or sad day. Exciting day or boring day. Our strength comes from God.